Welcome to Creative Disturbance.
Rencontre avec.
Rencontre avec.
Meeting.
Meeting.
Howard Boland.
So Howard, you are an artist and a member of a C-Lab collective in England. And for the Trust Me, I'm an Artist project, you submitted the Cellular Propeller project, and we had an ethical committee meeting during Transmediale in February 2016 here in Berlin. So could you first explain what this project is? And it's still a project, right? It's not achieved yet.
The project started in Heidelberg at the Cancer Institute as part of a residency, where I was exploring this idea of trying to create scaffolds that could be potentially moved by cells. There was, I must say I was inspired by some work by scientists as well, who had written a paper on an artificial jellyfish they'd created, and sort of really started to break, they had really started to break into what you might call a non-molecular synthetic biology, because most synthetic biology is molecular. It's about moving genes around, about finding methods and sort of creating new predictable methods of creating new types of material, new life forms and novel behaviors, etc. So what they actually did, the novel behavior they create is having these rat cells, which are essentially heart muscle cells from newborn rats, and attaching these onto a piece of plastic, silicon. The silicon had a specific design that mimicked a jellyfish, and then trying to make it move. So that was a starting point of the project, to see if I could actually use a similar technique and build my own design that could be moved, and not in a biomimetic way, or bio-inspired way, like a jellyfish. But my design was actually trying to use two of these and bridge them into something that could rotate more like a propeller. One of the first problems I hit there was this issue of using heart cells from newborn rats, because there's quite a cruel procedure to actually extract these heart cells. How do I get hold of these heart cells? And would anyone be willing to help me on this? And the technician said no, but we did get help at the institute, and we did get heart cells. But there's still a sort of ethical issue around that, which is about, am I taking part in that killing process by also harvesting these cells? So that was a big debate when I was there. And we tried to actually implement a model of this thing by seeding heart cells onto a scaffold that I had made. In the end, actually, we couldn't make this work. And really, the problem was one of time, because I had to leave there, and the research actually carried on. The researchers I worked with were willing to carry on the project, and they carried on for several months before they actually decided that this was very hard, and we tried lots of different techniques, which really opened up the project where it is now. So in order to try to solve this, what I did was to consider other types of cells I could use. Could I use sperm cells? Because essentially we needed to just find something that we can use to make this thing work. If you use sperm cell, I have an enormous reservoir of that. Can I use my own cells for this? And how would I build something that could use these cells and move the scaffold? And what sort of scaffold would it be? And now with the heart cells, the idea was obviously to try to, what we would use, the heart cells are actually beating. So they're sort of pulsing. In the sperm cells, they swim. So you've got this tail sticking out that is rotating and propelling the sperm cells towards the egg normally. When the sperm attaches to the egg, what happens is that there is several layers of the egg, and one of these layers is the cumulus. There's a lot of a specific type of acid. This is a type of compound that allows the sperm, or makes the sperm, position itself perpendicular to the object is attaching. So it's actually attaching with the head first and this and the tail sticking out at the back in a very sort of straight line. And if we imagine that we coat the scaffold, so my proposed design is actually a coin size wheel. So part of it will be coated with this compound. So half of the top and half of the bottom, but on the opposite sides. And so once you coat it, you'll then, much like what you would do in a fertility test, you would coat this compound on, add the sperms, wash excess sperms off, and then put it into a buffer solution, and then see if the sperm cells are able to rotate this object. And this is the sort of the one of the things that fascinates me in terms of seeing these cells or looking at these cells being able to perform a sort of a very unusual task, and also seeing a large object, an enormous object compared to the sperms, being moved by just the masses of them. And is this thing about having this large but invisible population moving this enormous structure? And you could sort of imagine that you're looking into this thing and you can I see the sperms or are the sperms invisible to my eye? And you can ask yourself, what is this object? It's moving. It's acting as if it's as if it's alive. Because if you go back to Aristotle, which has formed the basis of our formed the basis of a lot of the way we see the world, movement is key to thinking about something as being alive.
Just me. I'm an artist.
So, but in the first place, why did you want to do this synthetic biology project as an artwork?
That's an interesting question, because I'm not sure it always works like that, because I like to think of myself as someone who has an interest in research. My method of research then, or discovering, both as a researcher and as an artist, is a process of where you discover as you go through things. So you interact with material, you interact with methods and processes. These aren't sort of interactions that are, they come from having done lots of other things. So everything sort of relates in the sense that you have an experience, you're doing something, it triggers something, that moves you to the next place. So I went through a series of things in Heidelberg when I was doing the residency that made me move in this direction. So it wasn't sort of like a eureka moment where I said, I've invented the wheel, but it was a sort of an ongoing process. But essentially, when you come to the end, it looks like I've invented the wheel. Because it is the wheel, and it is a sort of primary, one of our first technologies, so to speak, that I'm interacting with all of a sudden. So how we read a story in terms of what's happened, it's in retrospect, it's very easy for us to say, okay, I but there was no eureka moment. It was a slow moving process, and it's still moving this idea I have, the proposal, I've designed an experiment, I've not executed it. So things might still change.
During the panel, the ethical panel discussion here at Transmediale yesterday, you insisted a lot on the fact that you wanted to achieve the real project. Telling the story or speculation was not your goal here, and that the fact that it was actually done was key and crucial. Could you explain a little bit more about that?
My take on what we might call bioart, yeah, which is this field where artists are trying to use biology or biotechnology to in the process of art creation, yeah. It's about not producing a proposed thing, a speculative thing, but actually engage with it to understand to do it, to understand it, and to produce it, and to create this living thing. And I'm sort of like catch myself here, because we try to use artistic term to understand what we're talking about. So I'm worried about calling this a kinetic sculpture or something like that, because I don't think that's necessarily just what it is. The second we're dealing with these living things, things also change a little bit of how we view them. So it's about having this interaction with the material, this real material, and creating it, because it's not a fantasy. It's something real. It's something that tangible. And I want, when I create something, I want it to be direct and I want it to be tangible, as opposed to just a speculation.
You went from the rat heart cell mm-hmm. to sperm. Mm-hmm. Both heart and sperm are strongly associated with life. Mm-hmm. How do you see the shift and between heart cell and sperm cells in this respect, and how does it affect the way you see the work?
It changes the work a lot. It is a very big leap. I know it's a big leap. But it's, you know, you're completely right. Sperms is about the creation of life. It's about two things coming together to make a new life. The metaphor and the real thing is actually coming together there quite nicely. I actually just thought about it now that you said it. Because you have this synthetic, this plastic, and the sperms almost give it life. Now it doesn't, it creates a new form of life, or at least in our minds it's a new form of life. But at the same time, we know it's, if we look at it, it is human, this thing. But at the same time, we know it's a construct. It's not something that has evolved on its own, or as part of a tradition, or as part of evolution as a tradition, if you like. Yeah, it's not an evolutionary. So I think there is a lot of interesting readings that can be done on this thing. It's going many different directions. You can also go in the route where you think of this is actually something that looks like a hole, and there are sperms attaching to the hole. So there are lots of different types of reading without going into direct details of it that can be done. And I think that culturally loadedness it has is interesting. But I'm, as an artist, I'm not going to go into all those readings, because I think those are things that people must do themselves if they're interested in the work. For me, I'm more interested in the creation and making my own reading. I'm not going to tell anyone how to read the work.
It seems to me that it makes a difference, the fact that it's human cells make a difference for you.
The problem, the ethical problem here is really, okay, can I use my sperm cells in this experiment? And it's really a question of when you enter an institution, because this experiment needs to be done within an institution, a laboratory setting, in order to validate it to the extent it needs to, in order for it to work, so to speak. And there might need to be some tests, some measurements, etc. I know that's where I need to do the work. So can I take my sperm cells and bring it into an institution and use it there? And this is where the ethical issue comes from, because you are not allowed to use human material without having an ethics approval. Because normally human material from other people must be seen as a gift. It's a gift to a scientist, and they must do a proper job in conserving it and in keeping it in an appropriate way. Do I then see myself as in the same position as having had been given this gift from someone else? Am I sort of a third person to myself when I'm asking for this permission?
Just me. I'm an artist.
Is the use of a sperm cells in a synthetic biological project to move a non-organic object, isn't that the key issue? The fact that they are used here to propel something that belongs to this unknown territory of synthetic biology makes that the ethical question more than using your own sperm instead of somebody else.
In many ways, that is the fabric of the object. But it's about becoming aware of these cells and also looking at this object and sort of trying to understand, is this living now? What is going on here? You're sort of asking a question about what's just happened. What I like to do is I have a sense of what it might be. I have a sense because I'm trying to visualize it. I as an artist, I also try to make models, to see things, etc. Yeah, but before I actually release this new cellular propeller into an environment and with the cells, I think that point, that event, is when you discover. And that's the kind of event I also want to share with an audience and other people. This type of event, this performance of this is what actually happens. And then it becomes tangible, and then it becomes maybe a failure, maybe it becomes it can become so many things. So that's why I'm sort of it's difficult to comment precisely on it before
it happens.
How do you deal with the aesthetic component of the objects and the experience that the viewers and the audience is going to have in this piece and in general?
I would say that not all of this have been thought out properly. I'll start with that. But my design, what I aim for, the way I'm trying to design it, the way my design at the moment, is trying to make the wheel as big as possible, but allowing the rotation to the movement of the wheel to be as good as possible. So the first point is about getting this into the field of view so you can see it with the naked eye, because seeing is believing somehow, and seeing motion is, I think, still critical to the way humans think about the world. So those are the primary things that I'm considering. In terms of the rest, when you're dealing with biological things, you have to always think about, how do I keep this alive for a long time? You know, you have to, so you're bound to certain conditions, and those conditions sometimes will decide aesthetics.
Des pastilles, ear, à sucer pour l'oreille, candy.